Okay, good morning, everybody. Okay, so we're almost finished with these packets. I wanted to show you the one that says "Be'inyan Hargasha Bizman Hazeh Supplement." Packet one. The first page is Hilchos Yisuri Biya. Do you have that one?
This is the other supplement?
Yeah.
I couldn't find this one on the packets. On Wahi Torah.
Okay, so we'll just tell it over to you a little bit. There's a Tshuva Sefer called Knei Bosem. Knei Bosem is written by Rav Meir Bransdorfer. He was a big Paisek in Meir Sha'arim. I remember once he was one of the people, you know, when you buy Balad Minim in Meir Sha'arim, then you usually go to a Paisek to have him look at it. So I didn't think there was a problem with my lulav, but I just wanted to see who the posek was, so I waited online to show my lulav. So it was Rav Meir Bransdorfer. He was one of the Gedolei Morei Torah in Yerushalayim. So he has a tshuva here. He says in the Knei Bosem, Simon Beis. Maybe you could see it on if it's on the Otzar Chochma it's in Hilchas Nida and Simon Beis. So he says, "Hinei inyan haksamim kayom mitzuyim b'derech klal etzel noshim shein vesta mesudar v'yisleim dimumim." You have women that they have ksamim, and they don't have a set cycle. V'yesh b'noshim shebe'es heryona medamimim. Some women, even while they're pregnant, they have spotting. V'noshim shetzvichos limonim eiron v'achnisim tabas. Or they have some birth control, which also calls spotting. They find ksamim on their clothing. We know in Hilchas Ksamim, if it's less than a gris, then it's mutter. Halacha ravachs the kesem pachas megris ain't a matami. So kesem, if it's less than a gris, it's not matami. But he says, so this is his question. I mean, this is a question we talked about before. He says, in yidya duach shayom mishum chulshos haguf ain't a noshem argishos. Right? You have women today that don't aren't margish that they have hargashas, even when they get their period. A field b'shas vesta, you'd see as dam in a mokor, and they don't be margish zivas doverlach. And the only time they know they get their period is that the garment is wet, which is not a hargasha. That l'kuli alma is not a hargasha, because that's. There's nothing to do with the body. It's just the garment became wet. So nechashar hargosha. Alafiyo halacha bevade inomah shemachmas she'enam argishus lo yitamu midarais avilu bezman shevesh shofei karogil. He says it's hard to say. Were you able to find it, Ben? This safe? No, it's not on Otsar.
You don't find it. I was looking on Otsar.
Or in Knei Bosem.
Kuf Nun. Who's the mechaber?
Rav Meir Bransdorfer. And the name of the safe is Knei Kuf Nun Hei Bosem Beis Sin Mem Sofis. Okay. So he says, so women say they don't have hargashas. So it's hard to say that if a woman has her regular flow and she doesn't feel anything, that's hard to say that that's only going to be a derabanan. I mean, Rav Yashiv, we saw, said that, okay, hargashas is only if that's your derech bekach. If it's not your derech bekach, then you're...
Rabbi, I found it on Otsar.
Oh, yeah? So you want to... Which volume is it, though?
Chloe Tara.
Did you see Simon Bays?
Simon Bays.
Binyan down below Hargasha?
It looks like it's organized into Klolim. You see that, Ben Sion? You're on mute.
Is it called down below Hargasha?
Binyan
Kulas Ketam?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so it's in Chelek Beis, page Sadi Aleph.
Yeah. So
I just put up the link if anyone wants in the chat.
Oh, Ben MZ? Thank you.
Yeah. No problem.
Can everybody just point out which paragraph he's in?
Yeah, so I'm reading Simon Bays. I'm up to the second paragraph. Omnum. The Khariesh Liam is Ebishum Schneidvarn. He says, today women say, some women at least, they don't have hargashas. So even when they have their shas vestan, they have their regular period, which is a lot of blood, and they say they don't have hargasha. So he says, it's hard to believe that they're only tamei midrabban. So you mean to tell me, in other words, could it possibly be that these women are never needed their ISIS? Filo olam lo tira ria der isa al masha ena magishas hu machmas chulsha shelhem ba'etzvei hahergesh. In other words, it's in their neurological system is lacking, so they don't feel it. But he says, whereas if there are problems in your nervous system, and therefore you're not feeling the blood, so Rav Meir Bransdorfer says, so are you talking that that's not going to be a nidar daraisa? Well, say you hold no debut, zivas doverlach, but you can't feel it because the nerves aren't sensitive enough. So he says. He says it's hard to believe that would be considered that there was no hargasha, even though there was no hargasha. So then the question is like this. So then where do you draw the line? In other words, if it was very clear, we know what the hargashas are, we discussed the different shitas, right? And if it's very clear what the hargasha is and what the hargasha is not, so then it's very simple. When you have a hargasha, it's daraisa, but not. But but what about these women that are saying that even though they have their period, they're not feeling anything? So he says it's hard to believe that that's only going to be a darabanan. But then where do you draw the line? In other words, because technically speaking, in Hilchas Nida, a mashahu is matame benida, right? Rabbi Body points out. Whereas the din of Nida is even a little bit. Nida al pi din is not a shear in once it's a riyah. There's no shear to it. So if she has a hargasha, but this woman, she has a lot of blood, she still says she doesn't have a hargasha. So then, So then, and yet we're going to still say she's Tamei Daraisa for some reason. So then, Waisha, how do we differentiate a woman just has a stain that's even Pachas Mikagris? So why shouldn't that be a Daraisa also? You follow the question? In other words, if we would say that women are clear, okay, we discussed some women, if you hold that the cramps are aragasha or all the bodily things. But if you just say she doesn't have the regular hargashas, so then what difference should it make between a woman that has a regular flow and doesn't feel, and a woman has a small stain and says she doesn't feel? It should all be the same. There's a lechora on the left side. A pizeh yesh lodon, the name of gam came b'ksamim. In other words, all ksamim should be should be a rear. Because the whole idea of ksamim being ksamim is there's no hargasha. But this woman says she never has hargasha. So then what difference does it make between a woman that has a big flow and a woman just stains? There shouldn't be no difference. If this woman is saying that even when she has a big flow, she is not markish. So again, the women that say that they do have some type of hargasha, they have the sensation. So okay, so they have a hargasha, and certainly when they have a bit. But so these we're talking about now women who say they never have hargasha. So the Aruch HaShulchan said, well, we saw that they don't know what they're talking about. They're not meshakim, but they don't know. Da, da, da. So then how do you draw the line? Because then there should be no difference al pi halacha between a regular flow and a little stain. It should all be the same. And if a regular flow is on either daraisa, so why shouldn't the stain also be? But he says, "Ach be'em ze'eino derei kvar koso v'shulchan aruch harav." So he quotes the shulchan aruch harav we did last time. Davim lo nizbor kishmul the davke b'hargasha tmeim b'daraisa. In other words, even if we're not going to hold from Shmuel, we call Malkum Kol Sheina Kesem Vaday Megufa Leki Yisur Daraisa. In other words, if it's not Vaday Megufa, it's not going to be an Yisur Daraisa. The Shina Dam Lo Kesem. The Kol Sheina Vaday Megufa Digli Meim Yisham and Saskem B'Samim Ot Li Acheres V'Lamid Daita Ena Tmei Amid. In Kain Shur Sarich Latay Ach Ad Kigris. But Sina Gam B'Safek Hargasha. Shemir Shmuel B'Dina Da. The eight shade of Bodograph Shadam Nim told them Dika Shavada Yeshbem Suffolk. Hagasha, Shema Agasha, Ukasvur Hagasha, a heat, Mikomokum, Yesh little Shadam Ball, I ain't recording till then. Hagamakon Kaspar, Yesh little Makolos. So he says the word is. That so the way he's explaining it is like this: that the pshat is that if it's less than a gris, so perhaps the pshat is we can be tola that it didn't come from her, that it's not vade migufa. Because if it's not vade migufa, then it can't be a daraisa. So he says so anything. So the reason why we're making. He wants to say Bizman Azeh with Ksamim. So a woman that says she does get Hargasha, so that it's simple. Some she didn't have Hargasha. But what he's talking about the women that say they never get Hargasha. So then what difference is it between a regular flow? You mean to tell me we're going to make a difference and say that this woman is who has a regular flow and the woman who only has just a Tipas Dam is the same? And we're going to either say they're both either a Daraisa or they're both only a Darabonin. He says, it's not Yitachin. It's Mustaber that if you have a regular flow, that's an Issa Daraisa. If you have just a stain, that's going to be an Issa Darabonin. So what's the Pshat? He says, because once it's a small stain, we were told that it wasn't Bami Gufa. Like it came from a bug or something like that. Even though you know, the Chasam Sofer writes, even though the Zvanazer, we know that it's not a bug, but nonetheless, that's what we assume. So he says like this: So this is what he says here. I mean, again, Rav Meir Brandsdorfer was known to be a machmer. He was like Rav Eli Melech Liebowitz once said to me in from Brooklyn, that in Yerushalayim they knew that the Rav Fisher was known for the koch, the hetera, and then Rav Brandsdorfer was known more for the chumra side of things. So he says like this: Shabalafai kesem, afil pachas migigris. He says when. So this is what he said. This is again, I'm not saying we pasca this way, but I always believe it's important to see the whole broad gamut of shitas, and then to understand what to use, what shita in which case. So he says like this: normally, if a woman has a kesem and it's less than a gris, the machlok is whether gris is the size of a nickel, the size of a penny, so it's less than that. But it's very red. As red as could be. So you see that it's migufa. So he says that if it's less than a gris, but you can see that it's dam, it's very clear that it's dam, therefore it's clear that it's magufa. So he says, he tells women, so really, you know, basically he's saying is that he really thinks that we should be machmer. Really, we should be machmer, because why should this be any different than a regular flow? If a regular flow, this woman says she doesn't even have a hargasha, so what's the divorce? The divorce is, like someone would say, regular flow, it's vade migufa. So he says, so the same thing over here, it's probably vade migufa. So just to make sure, you do a bedika, and then you'll see that it's vade migufa. Most people, you know, this is considered a very big chumra, because a lot of times when women stain, they have... it could stain very red. So he's not willing to be makel and say, well, it's on Sivonin, it's on Enu Mekabel Tumah. This is the opposite end of the spectrum, that he's very machmir. He says that if a woman, in other words, is going to say she never has a... So then the only question is, was it Vade Migufa? If it's Vade Migufa, so then it's like a Chazaka, there was a, you know, that there was a, some type of Hargasha. So then it should really make no difference between a big, and that's like a big flow and a little stain. If you could tell Mamish it's red, and it's clear that it's red, so he would say, so let her do a Bedika, and then sure, if she really has red now, she does a bedika, it's not going to come out so good. I think he's making you do the bedika just to show that it's really vade migufa, and which my impression is that he's really saying that it's vade migufa even without the bedika, but just to. You know, make sure that, and then once it's Vade Migufa, then you could say sort of, like, I think where Rabbi goes, that's, so anything that's Vade Migufa, it's Chazaka Boba Hargasha. The question is, but what if she doesn't have So you could say that he's working with the Shita, that anything, anytime it's Vade Migufa, it's already a Daraisa. But that's what he's saying, that that's why some poskim, you know, take into account the brightness of the color. That, in other words, some poskim work with that they wanted to have a certain size. Once it's a certain size, like some say it's a half of a dollar bill. That's how some poskim work. Take a paper dollar bill, and the stain is the size of half that, so that's considered like a ria, because that's significant. Rav Abadi told me many years ago, like 6/4, you know, of a stain, that's considered like a ria, because once it's so big, then it's like a vade migufa, and once it's vade migufa, so then we say chazaka bar bahargasha. So, but Rav Meir Brandsdorf is saying is that he thinks that it's not only the size that's important, it's also the color. Meaning, of course, you need red, but there's different types of red. You know, but if it's real bright, you know, real, you know, thing of red that you could tell that it's Vade Magufa and it's not a Maka or something like that, so then then we could forego the amount, the quantity, because we have such a quality. That's some Rabbi Herschel Auschwitz told me also that in a pad, you also have to take into account the depth, because a pad has cotton, so it seeps in. So that's another thing that you have to take into account. So even though it might not be so big in terms of the, you know, the area that it's covering, it seeped, you know, went through. You can open up the pad, Ravash said, and you can look to see that it went from one side of the cotton to the other side. So that means it has to be a significant amount. But so therefore,
ready?
Yeah.
Do we pass in that way that even if it's less than a grist, but if the Mora Hora is Mishire, that if one were to spread it out, it would be more, it would be larger than a grist, that you would be mastering on that as a ria?
If you could tell that it's really, you know, saturated, you know, through and through. We're not talking about just a little bit.
Right, I just feel like it's complicated, because you could always, like theoretically, had you spread it lighter, it would have covered more surface, right?
Right, so that's why I always say that the shear of a ria is not an exact science. Like a gris is very specific. Whatever the shear is, different opinions, whether it's a nickel or a dime or whatever, a penny, the Chasam Sofer says that the Miel Tzedakah, he was very medactic to get the exact
shear. Right. That's why that was
the
right shear.
But when it comes to a ria, how big that is, it's not so exacting, and therefore, and so the Mora Hara is Mishaya, what it is, and then sometimes we take into account these other types of, in other words, we try to figure out, is this a Ria or is it a Kesem? So, and sometimes it's very, so these are, so what I'm trying to show you from Rav Meir Brandsdorf, even though I don't necessarily tell people, to if they say a little thing is very red and it's small, less than a grist, to do a Bedika, even though he did, but it's put in the mix. It's put in the mix of when we're trying to figure out, should we treat it like a Ria or a Kesem? So that's another thing that's put in the mix. And that is, what is, how bright color it is. So right. So it's Mestaber that if it's very bright red, even if it's not, say, 4/4 or whatever, it's less, that's more of a svara to be machmir and treat it like a ria. So he would tell women to actually, because he holds that, you know, you see, this is a very important point, that Hilchas Nid is not a game. Some people treat, you know, they treat it sort of like a game. You know, that's why I have a mesorah from Rav Abadi and Rav Ausch, that women should never wear black undergarments. Some rabbanim tell women, wear black. Because with black, you won't see. But then he's saying that's called misalemayin. You're you know, you're playing a game here. You're saying, oh, I won't see it, so it's, but if it's, but if it's significant to the mount, it's just being covered up because it's black. So, everybody, Rav Herschel Lausch, thought that that's a late sonus to do that. So therefore they would say that when you would Sivonim, it could be colored, but it shouldn't be like dark black, because then you're not going to be able to see it. And then maybe there's something significant going on. So what Ramea Bransdorfer's point is that basically we, if you have women that are not, so once they have a lot of blood, we assume it's Vadei Migufa, and if they don't have a lot of blood, but it's very clear that it's Dam, it's no Shaila that it's Dam, so then it's also considered Vadei Migufa. So he says, so therefore they should do a Bedika. But I think he really means that they don't even need a Bedika. But he's not going to, I don't think he wants to say that. You know, but that's what he really thinks. He says, of course, you'll do a Bedika and then you'll Matami yourself. Rav Abadi would never say to do such a thing. In other words, he doesn't work with that. He says, if it's a small amount, it's a small amount. But once it's a big amount, so then, you know, the Rabbani would be Matame. And if it's a quasi-big amount, then a lot of times he would ask, you know, was there cramps? Was there other types of things that we could possibly use as a... In other words, even though if we're not complete Maram Shik people or like Rav Ausch, but the other factors brought in can tilt the scale. So in other words, so the idea of judging whether something is a kesem or something is a ria is, first of all, the hargoshes that we mentioned in the past. Second of all, quantity. And third of all, we see from this, is the color. The color, if it's very, very bright, so that also is something to be brought in the mix. And, you know, in that. So that's, you know, so basically, you know, he's basically saying that, he's saying, in nitar kesem below klum, whereas if we're going to say a woman has red, and we just say, ah, it's mutter because it's on Sivonim, hareza ke'ein halomas ayin mina iser. It's just like, you know the iser's there, and you just, it's like the people who wear the black liners, and don't, see, in Eretz Yisrael, they started with the black liners. Why? Because Rav Eliashiv didn't, Rav Moshe has a yisod, Rav Bik held this way also, that anything disposable is not mekabel tumah. But Rav Eliashiv wasn't convinced with that. And therefore, he paskened that it could be mekabel tumah. So if you're saying that a pad is mekabel tumah, so then how is it going to be mutter? So it'll only be mutter if it's savonim. And so therefore, that's how they started to have the black. But if you're a Rav Moshe person, even though it's interesting that Rabbi Welcher once heard him say from Queens that he used to see Rav Moshe look at the color of tissue, meaning the color of the kesem on a tissue. So Rabbi Welcher said, well, why is he doing that if the Maisa tissue is not mekabel tumah, so it shouldn't make a difference? So I asked this to Rav David Feinstein once in the Sukkah in the Lower East Side, and he said to me, yeah, in the earlier days, Rav Moshe was not fully convinced about this thing about disposable non-mekabel tumah, so that he would look, but in the later days, he would just be makel b'shofi, that if it's on something that's not mekabel tumah, and it's not a huge amount, then he wouldn't be concerned to look to see exactly what the color was. So this is the famous psak from Meir Bransdorfer that he takes into account, that he wants to know that a woman that doesn't have an ergasha, so what difference does it make between a flow and a little kesem? And so he says, so the difference would be that if the little, so maybe in a chanami, there's no difference, but only if the difference is that a little kesem, you could say, is not coming migufa. But that's only if it's not so red. But if it's so red that you know it's migufa and you know it's dam, so then you can't just be mekel, so you should at least do a bedika. And what he's saying is, I think, do a bedika, and we know that the bedika won't come out good. So because really he's saying that probably it's... And this is, you know, basically what Rav Soloveitchik held. You know, that he held that... which is a tremendous... It's interesting, Rav Meir Bransdorfer from the Eid HaRedis, Rav Soloveitchik, they basically held the same thing on this thing, that if it's, you know, that's Vadei Megufa, so then it's it. That's like a deraisa. So even in a little amount, it'd be a deraisa. Okay, but that was a chumra of Rav Meir Bransdorfer. He was an Adam Gadol Maod, Rav Meir Bransdorfer. He has a son named Kaddish. You know, there's a minhag that some people would name the oldest son Kaddish. There's a minhag like that. He has a son named Kaddish Bransdorfer. I don't know necessarily in the circles you are in, if you know anyone who's named their son Kaddish. And they would name him because he was the one that would say Kaddish for the father. So that's how the name, they would give their son's name Kaddish, their oldest son. It's not in your circles. It's not so. But there's a minhag like that. Name your son Kaddish. Now that we're talking about Meir Bransdorfer, I'll tell you a psak from Meir Bransdorfer that I also don't follow. and he has this psak. I'll tell you, it was no gear for this Shabbos. See, my minig, I discussed with Rav Badi, I'm Mavir Sedra the next week. Like, say it's Parshas Noach, so in the afternoon on Parshas Noach, I'm going to already be Mavir Sedra for Lech Lecha. Even though I didn't go to Shul yet for Mincha, but since it's the Zman already, it's the Zman for Mincha, in other words, it's after... half an hour after Chatzos, it's Zman Mincha, so then already you're holding by Lech Lecha already, because if you make a minyan now, you would lay Lech Lecha, so you could be Mavir Sedra. So that's what I do, that's what everybody told me I could do. Some people follow the sheet of, I think, the Ran, that they wait till Motzai Shabbos, till the Mavir Sedra for next week. But I'm Mavir Sedra already on Shabbos for the next week. So the Shaila is... What about like last Shabbos? So last Shabbos we laid in Tzavah Vayelech. So I already was Mavir Sedra for Hazinu last Shabbos in the afternoon. But we're not reading Hazinu the Shabbos. Right? We're only going to read Hazinu on Shabbos Shuva. We're not reading Hazinu. So I followed Shita like Rav Bari said, but the Maaseh by Mincha we're going to be reading Hazinu. So that means we're holding by Hazinu, even though it's not the week of Kriyas HaTorah for Hazinu. So Rav Meir Bransdorfer said, no, it has to be the week of that we're going to lay in Hazinu. If not, it's too early. But I followed Shita. No, it's not too. Why is it too early? It's not too early. Lamaisa. So Rav Meir Bransdorfer said it has to be that week. That was his psak. It's in the tshuva. That if you, like, if this past Shabbos you laid Hazinu for Mavir Sedra, it wouldn't be good. So I followed the sheet like Rabbi Bari said, no, that since by Mincha we already read Hazinu, we're holding by Hazinu, so that's good enough, even though we're not going to read it for another week. I had a shaila. The last time this happened was when my father was nifter. So it says in Shulchan Aruch you could be Mavir Sedra during Shiva because it's part of the Sidur of the Yom. But that week my father was nifter, it was Vav Nisan, it was before Pesach. So that Shabbos they weren't going to, I think that Shabbos they weren't going to get to the that parsha till 2 weeks later or whatever it was. So I waited. Because anyway, since it's not necessarily the week of it, even though they were ready by Mincha, so I I waited already to the next week. But that's what he held. I always have a shaila like this on. This is the thing that I'm astopic about. You know, what's the din on? You know, Bereishis is the one parsha that you don't necessarily get a full week to be Mavis Sedra. Right? Sometimes you, if Simchas Torah is on a Thursday, whatever, you know, it's the end of the week, or Friday, whatever. Say it's on a Friday, it's a 3-day Yontif, whatever. So then you're not gonna. You only have one day to be, not even a whole day. You have a couple of hours in the afternoon. So I thought the pshat is that since the Gemara says in Chagiga that we shouldn't be delving into the Maisa Bereishis too much. You know, not to be delving into Maisa Merkava, not to be delving into Maisa Bereishis. So there's the one time that we don't get a full week to be Mavir Sedra, is Bereishis, because we shouldn't be delving into 2 weeks. So my question was, what if you wake up in the morning, Simchas Torah morning, could you... And you already Mavir Sedra for Zos HaBracha already, because already they lent it, say, before by Mincha. Could you be Mavir Sedra for Bereishis in the morning at Simchas Torah morning? That's been always my suffix. Because Lamaisa, if you had a Hashkama minion today, they would already be laning Bereishis. What do we say? No, but since the Tzi, you know, so maybe you could already be laning Bereishis already Simchas Torah morning, and then that would give you a little bit more time. Because if it's on a Friday, you come home, you eat the meal, and then it's already you're going back to Shulva Shabbos already. You only have a couple hours. So could you, if you have the opportunity, if you woke up early. So I never did it because I'm still masupak of what the din is on Simchat Torah morning. Could you already lane Bereishis, since already that's the Zman for Bereishis. There are people already who made a Vasikin minion who already lane Bereishis already. So maybe, but Lameisa, I don't know. Since you didn't even go to shul for Zos HaBracha yet, so I don't know. I never did it. So I always wait till after shul. So after shul on Simchas Torah day, and they already read Bereishis in shul a little bit. Chas and Bereishis already. They already read Bereishis. And then I'm Mavis Sedra ready for Bereishis. But in the morning, I'm a supik whether you're allowed to do it in the morning. Because Lamaisa, Higi Hazman, it's already the Zman. But that was a suffix that I always have. Not to. But the reason I'm saying it is from Rameir Bransdorfer, so he held not like what I did. The last week I already was Mavir Sedra Hazinu, he held no, it has to be the week of. Even though they're holding by Hazinu in Mincha. That was his... But we're doing Hilchas Nida here, so in Hilchas Nida this was his Chumrah in terms of... Hilchas Nida. Okay, so I think we've finished now the Hargasha and we have a good, hopefully a good idea of what it's all about. And so let me wish you, everyone, a Ksiva Chasima Toiva. And Bez Hashem will continue Tzom Gedalia, right? And Monday Tzom Gedalia will continue in Nida. Ben Katz, a good year. And Nathan Bauer, a good year. And Sani Spitzer, good yor, Rav Meir, a good yor, and Rav Ephraim, a good yor, and Rav Emzi, a good yor, and Avi Lichtshine, a good yor, Yoni Sonnenschein, a good yor, and Josh Blau, a good yor, Yoel Weisberg, a good yor, Rav Avram Levin, a good yor, Max Kirschbaum, a good yor, Ben Zionfeld, a good yor, Ezra Hagel, a good yor, and who's MK's iPad? Who's that? Oh, that's Mayor, Mayor Kasson.
That's me. I was looking at that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, Rabosai. So you should have the year should be a good year. You know, this year there were a lot of difficulties in the world, and you know things. Me personally, the Bez Hashem, this year should be much more simcha, much more ability to get back to normal and good gesund for everybody, and we should be. We should have a lot of Simchas Achayim and be able to learn a lot together, and we'll be in touch. So Bez Hashem, Tzom Gedalia, 10 o'clock, will Bez Hashem continue Ksiva Chasima Tova for everybody.